thing. And like I said last week, we're going to journey through this in the next couple of weeks. So today we're going to take on living. Before I dive in that, Janet Solsonberg, I want to ask you a question. And it's probably one of the most fundamental questions that people struggle with. I'll put it in a few different ways. Why are you here? I'm not meaning in church. Why were you born? You. Why were you born? Why did God make you? What do you live for? Or maybe then, what is the purpose of your life? You know, when you get up in the morning and you get in front of the mirror, what do you see? Yes, I know, obviously, you know, you shave your mustache and you do your little thing, and then the ladies do the makeup thing for 2 hours and so on. Except my wife, she's quick. But what do you see? What do you think about? Do you actually like what you're seeing? Should have had more hair. Champ. Too much sun exposure. You know, Lord, why did you do this? I had a cave, man. I really had a nice cave. A couple of years ago. Now I have a plateau. And isn't it true that we all face different things when we look in the mirror? When you walk up to a mirror, do you actually want to see yourself? Are you happy with what you see? Are you okay with what you see? Are you okay with what you're thinking about? What is going on in your head when you think about yourself? In my sabbatical, like I said last week, I thought I dealt with some things from my youth, and then Jesus decided it was a good idea just to visit them again. It was things that, how I saw myself, how I looked at myself, how I thought about myself, that made me want to shrink back. You know, if you didn't know this about me, and you won't say this about me now, but way back then, before I got saved, I was a complete introvert. To the point where I would not walk into a shop to ask what a sweet costs. I had one friend, my entire school, because I was too scared to make friends with anybody else. So when I looked in the mirror at that point, I didn't particularly like what I saw. I didn't like this guy. So what do you see when you look in the mirror? What is the purpose of this life that you have been given? One of the fundamental questions, and it's interesting, when you sit someone down and you say to them, why do you believe God made you? Very few people actually know. I just like touching a leg, so that's why I'm standing here. No, I'm joking. But very few people actually know, why did God create you? Was it just some random act? You know, whether you planned or unplanned, a mistake or no mistake, the fact is that God actually has a purpose and a plan with your life. When you look in the mirror and you see what He sees, you will see a lot of potential. You will see stuff that God actually wants to do with you. And this living thing, like I said last week, the thing about living is for us to actually wake up with purpose, to realize that I'm alive. I have breath, I have opportunity, I have this entire day that God is giving me, and it's full of stuff that He just wants to do. It's not just going through the things, and I know we face stuff, right? Yeah. We are facing some stuff. Yeah. Thank you, honest. High five, champ. Okay, Rolf is there too. I know some of you are facing stuff. And isn't it true when we wake up? Okay, maybe you don't even sleep. But you wake up and the first thing that you think is, how am I going to get through this day? And I think sometimes, even with the stuff that we face, we miss God's agenda with that day. Because our stuff just consumes it. And your only goal is to get to 5 o'clock. Or maybe in some cases, I guess, 9 o'clock. Because you work way too long. James 1, verse 22 and 25 says the following. He says, I'm now with a living intentionally for an eternity part. Okay, I'm now with this living. Why do I want to live? And it says this, become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I think as we sit here, I'm going to maybe ask a tough question. But as we sit here and your journey as a child of God, you have received the Word of God multiple times. It's been sowed into your life the whole time. What do you do with it? Last week I asked the question, what are you going to do with your faith? Are we doers of the Word? If it comes to intentionality, if it comes to aiming at something, do I receive the Word of God to actually do it? And I think I've said this before. I think this is where it scares me to listen to too many podcasts or stuff, because I realize I need to do it. And verse 20 says, 25 says, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one shall be blessed in all he's doing. Who wants the last part? He wants to be blessed in all he's doing. Now, how often do you read the word? How often, instead of looking in the mirror that is here, I actually look into the mirror to understand who I actually am. So that when I walk out and face my day, I know who I am. Not confused who I am. Do you still meditate on scripture? Do you still memorize it? Do you even still highlight something? Do you have a notebook that you write in what God is saying to you? Do you take that word and you wrestle with it and share it with someone? What do you do with the mirror of God? Now, this portion of scripture, if we go to James 1, in verse 23, are you there? Because this is not on the screen. Take your Bible, meet me there. Okay, James 1, verse 23, meet me there. I want to read you something, because we need to understand this. Verse 23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Ha! I am observing my natural face. The nice thing is when I turn away from this mirror, I don't remember what I saw. You'll probably go, I look good, I'm going to leave now. Nah? All right? So verse 24. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. This is the New King James Version. How often do we look in the mirror? So one of the things that I kind of decided for myself, I'm really going to work on this memorizing scripture again. I'm not good at remembering the stuff. But I need to stir this in my spirit. And I don't just want to remember it with my head. I want to remember it with my spirit. So that when I go out today into this world, that I can be a doer of what God is actually saying for me to do. That I can actually live. That I can live out the purposes of God for my life. I think many of us struggle with things in our lives simply because we don't know the Word of God. It's like you're standing in the middle of the war. You have this incredible sword, if I look at the weapons of our warfare, that is strapped to your side, but you don't know how to pull the thing out. Your shield of faith is lying there. Your breastplate of righteousness is kind of dangling like this. Your belt of truth is not really on there. The shoes on your feet is not even tied like the youth do these days. I don't know how you walk like that, but in any case, so you're like slopping around there. And the devil is having a field day with us simply because we are not ready for battle. We hear the word, it's a good word, it's an amazing word, but we don't do the word. When the battle comes against us, instead of saying, in the name of Jesus, Furtzek, in plain Afrikaans, we rather entertain the thoughts and wonder why it's going on like this, you know. Why, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Why, Lord? No. Instead of saying, in Jesus' name, no. You are the redeemed of the Lord, the anointed of God. You are His sons and daughters. Rise up. This world needs us to rise up at this stage. Your neighbors need you. Your colleagues need you. The traffic in the morning needs you. Yes, but you're going to, Lord, bless that guy driving like a pig in Jesus' name. You know, someone doesn't need to hear you to actually speak a blessing over them. I know none of you struggle with this, obviously. So, this life I'm speaking about, and especially the life of faith, has nothing to do with just dead work. So I want to say to you, this living intentionally for eternity, I'm not inviting you into works again. I don't want you to try and produce something. When it comes to faith, I want you to take what the Word of God says and actually live it. To live who He says we are. You know, we've got a list, a two-page piece of paper that with all the I am, who God says I am, scriptures. You can take just that and just remind yourself on who you are. So that you don't try and, you know, produce something. But you allow the juices and the sustenance from the vine to come through you and actually produce that fruit in you. You know what I realized? I was praying in December and I'm going, Lord, man, I want more of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And immediately you kind of have this thing of, you know, how can I be more loving and more patient and more kind and, you know, long suffering, which is the one we don't want to do, but I'll suffer longer and I'll be. And I realized, excuse me, Meneer Meyer, this is the fruit of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. So just be closer to Him. And when I'm closer to Him, when I'm in the Word, and I study it, and I pray, and I wrestle with it, then suddenly, I see a different picture in the mirror. I know who I am. And that fruit actually starts just coming out. And my prayer for us this year is that we will follow Christ in such a way that that fruit will start really just oozing out in everything. That the presence of the Holy Spirit be of such that this life that we are living will be full of it. Because the world needs some loving people. Amen. It's one of the things that I pray. And I'm like, Lord, I really want to love your people more. gonna produce some love. And then he says, no, just draw closer to me. Yeah, and it blew my mind just to know that I can actually relax and draw closer to him. So if I have to sit you down now today and say, hey, listen, if I could ask you a question, how's your time with Jesus? What would you say? Yes, on the way to work. Okay, you can't say 120 because you're in the traffic. I understand that. But what do you actually even have a time? Do you treasure it? Do you love it? Is it precious? Do you protect it? When things want to come and steal you away from the one you love, do you actually protect it? Man, I love spending time with this woman. Don't mess with me when I'm trying to date her. I want to spend time with her. I love her. Why, when it comes to our relationship with God, are we so easily distracted? When I'm sitting with the Word and I'm trying to wrestle with the Word and life happens, then I get up and I walk, or your phone bleeps. Oh, goodness sake. Thank you, Stephen. And I guess that's one of the problems of doing Bible reading on your phone. Is just for that moment you see a WhatsApp coming from your wife. Or that thing that you were worried about when you got up. You see, this living that we're speaking about has got everything to do about faith in action. Taking this faith. You were born again, right? You are saved, right? Come on. You're not just another person. It's about knowing who I am as a new creation. It's about taking my place of authority in the kingdom of heaven. It's about living intentionally for eternity. But there's a problem. There's sin. There's disobedience. There's procrastination. There's things in our lives that enslave us, that ensnare us, that keeps us from actually pursuing God in the way that we really want. A life of compromise, if you will. Well, I kind of entertain the stuff. You know, I know it's wrong, but I don't really want to deal with it. Or, you know, you've tried to deal with it, but it's not going so well. But this life is a life of obedience. A life of saying, yes, Lord. Romans 6, verse 4 to 10 says the following. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism. So obviously the context of the scripture is speaking about baptism, but I want to read this to us. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even though we should walk in newness of life. How should we walk? In newness of life. The old things have passed away, the new has come. I am a new creation. I should not walk in my own stuff, my old stuff. Deal with the old stuff, kick it under the buhuki and chase it away. You are a new creation. Jacobus, that's easier than done. I know. But man, if you get up like that every day, I'm sure you'll overcome. For we have been joined together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed. Some of us need to get this revelation that the body of sin has been destroyed by what Christ has done unto you. That from now on, we should not serve sin. Is it not true that we can so easily justify why we're struggling with someone, something? You are not that anymore. this life that we're speaking about, living this life, is a life of freedom from who you used to be. Verse 7. For he who died has been justified from sin. So if you died with Christ, then you have been justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Maybe you should just remind yourself that I'm alive with him. Knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For and verse 10 is this. For in that he died to sin once. But in that he lives to God. What are you alive for? Are you alive to God? Is that the purpose of your life? Is that what you're aiming it at? And maybe these distractions has come in that has hindered you from fully focusing on him. Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 6 says the following. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So you were that. In which you once walked. You once walked in it. Following the course of this world. Following the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's where the spirit is working. Sons of the. So if you're disobedient, I think you're joining that clan. But that's where he's at work. Among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh. Oh, this says so much to me. I think if I'm following the passion of my flesh, then I should maybe worry about what I'm busy with. Any case. Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And then verse 4, but God. Oh. Being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loves you. Even when you were dead in your trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Maybe just tap someone next to you again, just remind them. You have been saved by grace and raised up. So you're not just dead, you were raised up with him. And seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, we need to wake up again where we are seated. Not in Shofar Brackenfell. In the heavenly places with Christ. That's a place of authority. That is the place where if you're seated next to him, you go like, Father. It's proximity. It's close. I'm seated with him. With Christ in the most incredible place. And then the devil says, no, but man, I don't know. Whatever he says to you, you're useless. You're not Oleg. You know, you don't read your Bible enough. If you don't read your Bible enough, it's simple. Fix it. Read it more. If you're struggling with that, be here tomorrow night for Bible school. And we'll teach you how to read it more. How to wrestle with it. How to get in there. Why? So that when the enemy comes against you, you pull out that sword, man. And the devils go, I'm out of here. You take up that shield of faith and you advance and they know they cannot stop you anymore. Amen. Man, come on. Let's stop cowering away, being afraid of the stuff in the world even. We should advance with faith. We should advance by faith. You know, when you walk in faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things I do not see. So do you know where you go if you're walking by faith? This says I don't see, but I'm advancing. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith We understand that the ages were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are being seen not have been come to. So that the things being seen not have to come into being out of things that appear. Do you think God was scared the day he decided and he said, I'm going to make the earth, or let the light shine, or make, you know, put the sea in its place? Do you think he went, I wonder if this is going to work? If our Father, just think about this quickly. If our Father speaks things into existence, and I am his son, and I understand my place of authority, and I speak by the Spirit of the Lord, what do you think is going to happen? You are a powerful being in Christ. Maybe that sounds contrary to you, but I want to say to you, you are a powerful being in Christ. Not in yourself. We advance by faith. We advance by faith. That doesn't mean we necessarily know where we're going. Who of you know what's going to happen by the end of this year? Nobody knows. But we are advancing by faith. Who knows what's going on in the world currently? Kom, erken, steek jou hande op. Because the internet is full of it. Regardless of that, we advance by faith. Not by the reports. Ron Canole used to sing a song way back when. Whose report will you believe? And then the crowd would respond, we will believe the report of the Lord. It gives away your age. Bad, I'm all I'm saying. Just welcome to this side of the age. Whose report will you believe? Come on. Come on. Come on. If you read Hebrews 11, normally we stop with verse 1. It's a good scripture. And I think verse 6, it's good scriptures. But when you get and you read a bit further, you read the whole of faith. Verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God. Verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, having been warned by God. Verse 8, by faith, Abram obeyed when he was called. Verse 11, by faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Come on. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, being tested, offered up Isaac. Woo! What makes these people great? Was it that they have great vision? That they have great understanding? No, it made them great. What made them great is they had a revelation of who God was. I mean, if I have to do verse 17, that's one activity. I honor that dude for being willing to offer his son by faith. I think the mistake we make sometimes is that our faith needs to somehow make sense. But if I can't see it, how does it make sense? I'm advancing by faith, so it cannot make sense. My faith should actually scare me. Are we going to be that people this year that is going to advance in such a way that our faith scares us and puts the devil on the chase? Because that's who we are. You see, we have a choice. We either live by reason and what we see, etc., and earthly wisdom, or we walk by faith. You interpret the things that you see, not by your wisdom, but you interpret it through a revelation of who you are in Christ. A revelation that shows you how to challenge and to take forth and to be in this world that we are currently in. Do you think God was confused for you to live right now? No. Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, grab this. Just grab it again. There are no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The accuser will accuse you. He will make you feel condemned. But there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. You see, we like the first part. But there is a second part. Who walk not according to the flesh and its desires and plans and, but according to the Spirit. And that's a capital S. So I'm not walking by my Spirit. I'm walking by the Spirit of God. You see, even as I went on my sabbatical, I realized that as a broken vessel, God still chooses to use me. Secret. Can I tell you a secret? Pastors don't have it all sorted out. You know, I actually want to talk to God one day. I mean, like one day when they ordain you, there should be a divine, I don't know what, erasing and sorting out, you know. And, you know, you should be like 20 notches up or something. Instant fix. Yet he doesn't do that. He takes me with my stuff. And he goes, come son, let's walk. I'm like, I don't understand. It's okay, I do. Just walk with me. I don't know where. You just take my hand. I'll lead you. If you didn't know this, I'm walking as much in faith as you do. There's no difference. When we choose faith, I believe we choose life. A life that doesn't make sense. A living that doesn't make sense to this world. But we choose it. I want to end with this Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 to 20. And this is this. I think when God spoke this to them, this was a tense one. See, I call heaven and earth as witness against you today that I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And then he counsels them and he says, therefore choose life. Choose life. That you and your offspring may live. You parents that worry about your kids, I believe if you choose this, your kids will be fine. It's like I said last week about what's in your box. If you put Jesus Christ in the box, you have to trust him with the rest. You cannot just try and shove everything in there with him in the box. Because that means you're in control. But when I put Christ in the box of my life, and it's all about him, then he takes care of these things. Then my offspring will live. My kids will have a future. They will be blessed. Far beyond what I can think. You know why? Because they're in God's hands. I raised them up as best as I could. Trusting God. I think that turned out okay. I think. No. Verse 20. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, clinging to him. For he is your life and length of days. In other words, you will die in the appointed season when your father is done with you. Not before then. That you might dwell in the land that the Lord swore to his fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I am an heir of this promise. So this land I dwell in, I'm blessed here, my man. I don't care what the economy says. So I want to ask you this morning, Are you going to step into the promises of God and receive what He has for you?